What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, with the buzz...
Party. We are all in the house and excited to give our final bow as we discuss the last episode of Arrow, Fade Out. I'm your host, Allie Kona Bradford, of course, joined by an amazing panel that we've had over the years.
Yes.
Introducing Oliver Queen.
I'm a queen, that's for sure.
Yes!
You have failed this city, girl.
This is a whole new spin-off.
Oliver's son, that's my prediction right now. Oliver's son becomes the Queen Arrow, and he's like, you found the city, bitch! You dead! That's what's gonna happen.
Oh my God. That's Matt Maher, you guys. That's Matt Maher.
Welcome
Hi,
to
everybody.
The show.
Hi, everybody. Two T's, two R's.
Oh, we're starting off strong, you guys. Hi, I'm Olivia DiBartoli, and I'm wearing my Felicity shirt!
Yay!
Because she was back.
I know, you were very excited about that. Hey guys, I'm Carolina Benetti, and I'm also wearing OG Arrow.
Hey.
And yeah, we can't wait to kick this off tonight.
Yeah. I know. You know, as tradition goes, first and foremost, you are co-hosting this final episode with us. We're so blessed and excited that you've joined us. This side of the table, of course, belongs to you. So hop in that chat one very last time.
Yeah.
And join us for tonight's conversation now, starting with hashtag who I love to hate.
Yeah.
Yeah, get in the chat, you guys. I see a lot of you are here. Logan Knight, Haywood Wong, Max, Ivan Soto, his husband.
Hi, Ivan.
Grayson. I mean, you guys are all here. Billie Jean Girl, all the usual suspects, and
yes.
We appreciate you. So tell
much.
Me who your I love to hate is.
Or is that me?
No,
I was just saying in the chat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't have one.
I'm there.
I don't.
No, they're going to yell at us in the booth.
Anybody tonight? Now, mind you, who I love to hate is also somebody who's just a stellar actor at being really bad. You just love to hate them because you're so good at it. So, I mean, I hate that the show is ending. Does
yeah.
That count?
Yeah, that's
that
it.
That was going to be villain. Mean?
Yeah,
that is our villain.
Is that it's over.
We agree for once, all four of
what?
Us.
We finally do, yes.
We made it to the island.
We made it to the island. We did, well said. Yes, that's what we hate.
Okay.
But if y'all hated something in the chat, let us know.
Yeah. Max says, I love to hate that random villain.
That's a teaser in our AfterBuzz news segment.
Okay.
We will let you know how the villain is not so random.
Hmm. Oh, okay. And then Grayson says, just like us, the show for always getting William kidnapped.
Oh. It's like a damsel in distress.
I don't know.
It's getting snatched up.
Blob says, I love to hate the fact that they didn't bring back Walter. Logan says, I don't have anyone to love to hate because it's, you know, it's over.
Who cried in the chat? Just tell us. Put a crying face. We want to know. I got teary, but I didn't cry.
I didn't cry. I thought
heart
I was going to cry.
Yeah.
But you're Black Canary today.
I am.
So that's why you have a heart of stone.
I mean, I don't love to hate, but I love Laurel. And I loved her in this episode, and I really, really loved Lance. I always have.
Yeah.
But I always like the fact that he embraces... She's Earth 2, right? Yes. Earth 2, Laurel.
Black Siren.
Yeah. Oh, I love it so much. Anyways.
I'm so obsessed with Black Siren, period. Like, her whole look. We were watching it. I just kept being like, I love her so much.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
everything about her. Mm-hmm. I really hope that Green Arrow and the Canaries gets picked up for a full series because I just need more of her. I'm so just for the look.
Yeah. Right. I liked also too the reveal because, you know, everyone is saying, oh, you're taking it so hard, Laurel. And at first, I don't know why in my mind, I think just because she's done such a good job of embracing the caring Laurel that for 2 seconds, I forgot that she wasn't the original.
Oh.
And so I thought that she was moping around because she had a past romance with Oliver. And then when her and Lance had that conversation, I went, oh, yeah. That all makes sense. Hold on. But it's cool that she has enough of a conscience to sit there and say, why didn't the original me get brought back?
Which was then explained
by
Mira when, you know, she was like, Theo was like, why didn't he bring back my father? And it was like he couldn't bring back the people who shaped him into being who he was. And I think Earth 2 Laurel was a huge part of shaping him into who he became.
Because not just her death, but who she was, coming back from the ship, the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah, but that's what I mean is like Earth 2 Laurel changed him more than his Laurel because Earth 2 Laurel turned him into a new person and made him realize that one, people can really change. It also forced him to trust someone outside of his immediate circle, which has so many trust issues. Like, we can all agree with that. I feel like she changed him for the better. She sells herself short still, which is really sad.
And I love that heart-to-heart. I thought it was like, they were just open, and I don't know. I was not a huge fan of hers this whole time, and when this scene finally happened, she changed my mind. She finally changed my mind.
She's great in the Canaries.
I'm curious what you guys, and also co-hosts at home, what you guys expected for this finale episode, because we had a lot of flashbacks, which, you know, this show is notorious for, but there were a lot. Oh. I personally wasn't expecting
that. You know who I love to hate?
Who?
Flashbacks.
What?
I was like, what is this crazy flashback?
No, we had to have that because that's what the show... That's what the show was...
Yeah. Found
that's
it
what
on.
The exactly. show... Sorry, it's not TV. I'm just doing that. Olivia just got it. It took a bit. But that's what the show was founded upon, were these flashbacks. Yeah. So I definitely...
I was hoping
it was
to
a good
see,
nod.
Like, I was hoping to see flashbacks where it was different people's memories with him because they could have done so much, especially in how he changed everyone that he met. I feel like that would have been really cool. But, you know, William had to go get snatched, so I understood how it all
and
tied together. Yeah.
This was so classic era. Like, I love that there was a nod to all of the seasons that we've had so far.
Yep.
It was classic era, what we've been watching, him and his fight scenes, you know.
Dude, like, speaking of fight scenes, are we going to talk about that jump over the building and the superhero landing?
Money.
I think that must have been the best superhero stick landing of the entire series.
Well, the whole thing before that in that factory, which this is directed by James Bamford, who
is
the stunt coordinator.
Of course it is.
So that's a shout out to James.
It's so funny because I wrote in my notes,
the
too. Slow-mo. I was like, have we seen this scene before? Because I feel like I would have remembered it because it's so long. And then I wrote, this is not a word, but I was like, great cameraography. Because it was so good. And I thought to myself, if this is from an earlier episode, James Bamford wasn't, to my knowledge, directing early on, but this is very stylistically him. So I'm glad you said that.
But for everyone at home who heard Ali Kona's made-up word, what she meant to say is this is great cinematography.
There you go.
Camera, but I like cameraography.
I like cameraography.
That's good. Also, not only the cinematography I thought was fantastic in that, but also props to the sound editing and the Foley people. Foley's like the sound effects. Mm-hmm. They were really, really good. And like the way they were edited, it just felt really close. Like you were right in it.
I think that also goes out to the DP. Feeling like really close like that. So it goes to the DP more. Also editing, but the type of lenses you use can create closeness and depth and color field and all that.
It was great. It was my favorite Arrow fight scene, I think,
Ditto.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Ooh, that scared me.
I'm sorry, I'm not scared. I'm Arrow.
You're Queen Arrow.
Yes.
Poochah!
Yes.
Poochah.
Oh, stop it. I'm fine. Saving this city, bitch.
Oh, man.
What are we talking about? Anyway, great fight scene.
Yes,
Go ahead, please.
Well, so I wanted to ask our co-host at home, and I want to ask you guys, too, who was your favorite comeback this episode? And I'm going to steal it. Hold on. Since I asked the question, I get to answer it first. I'm going to say it was Mr. Rags.
Right! please let Rags be in a spinoff. Please.
He's so hot.
Look, he was
so
hot. Yeah. So hot. For Earth 2, Laurel, and I was like, yes, take it. Get it. I'm
wait,
here
what?
For it.
He was like thirsty for his like wife from Earth 2. He was
that
like,
was, no, that was Tommy.
That was Tommy.
Yes. I can't sorry. See. Sorry. The TV that we have Carolina, is like so small.
Carolina's been on a cleanse and it's day 5. So I don't know what the hell's going to happen
there
to her.
He is.
And it's
oh, episode. He was up there.
Yeah, come on. No, that is not Tommy. That is not Tommy.
Because I've been
lie.
There.
Wait.
I've been
but
there.
But to be fair, the TV that we watch on is so dark.
It is.
Half the time. We see everybody's face in shadow and we're like, who is that?
He is so
if they're not in a costume, we are usually around the table double checking that we're looking
right.
at.
True.
We gotta stand like the angle of TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like standing watching. Okay, you guys, in the chill, or in the chat, there's Matt Chills. There's
yes!
also Ivan says Ragman, Blob says Quentin, Grayson Ryan says Rory.
Which is Ragman.
Yeah. Who else? Yeah, everyone is saying Ragman. Oh, favorite comeback from Warren says Nyssa.
Yes!
Oh, that's great.
Dancer
love
Fruit
that.
Says Maura and Tommy. And then Forever Mamba, my fave is Thea. And that was my fave, Thea and Roy. So
let's
cute.
Just talk about that really awkward engagement, though. Let's be on a building hunting somebody because we're trying to get this boy who got kidnapped. But I'm going to ask you to marry me, boo.
I just kept thinking the whole
it's
time.
Be a long marriage,
time
girl.
And place. Time and place.
Oh, no.
I will say, if there's anything kind of not a love date, that was the only thing that felt like forced finale.
Yeah.
Because I have to say, the rest of this episode did not. It was like a good closure. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like saccharine-y.
Yeah.
But that, I was like, okay, why don't you start it like get back together and like maybe right. you say something?
I forgive you.
Lot.
Let's get married. No, yeah. it was romantic. It would you know. It,
I appreciated it that she
rain.
Kept calling him out on his terrible timing.
Yes, that is good.
And then she was like, "Okay, but if you're gonna run away again, can you tell me?" And I was like, "Girl, tomorrow that promise is already broken."
I just feel like with their relationship, I would have appreciated more like if Thea was just like. But do you want to marry me? Like, if she would have been the person to ask, because really, Thea has the balls in that relationship. I love
I mean,
Roy,
totally.
But like, she's such like this vehicle of badassery.
Mm-hmm.
So
she's
I don't,
speedy.
Yeah, she's speedy. She's the OG.
Right.
Which also now the funeral scene makes so much more sense to me because I thought it was Rags and I was like, Rags, Laurel, or Mary?
Yeah.
I was like,
no.
Girl, you just need a Big Mac. That's all you need.
Right.
I'm so hungry.
Oh, man.
Anyway, yes, but that's the only other part. Anyway, what's next?
Speaking of hungry.
Oh, speaking of hungry. You know what we're hungry for?
You.
We're hungry
you
for you, listeners. You know how you can save this city? You can save this city by going in our chat and going on that little thumbs up and just giving me a thumbs up. Just the tip if you want, or the whole thumb. Thumbs up to AfterBuzz. Because it's because of y'all. We are here because we love you. You do so much for us. You help us make us the ESPN of TV talk. And if you don't give us a thumbs up, and if you don't give us 5 stars, you have failed this city, bitch. So thank you for making ESPN the TV talk.
Thank you for making AfterBuzz the ESPN
AfterBuzz
TV talk.
AfterBuzz the ESPN of TV talk. You know what? Carolina's on a cleanse.
And that was...
What does that have to do with you forgetting things? Speaking of hunger,
we just got a lot
we
of
We are hungry
chills.
For your likes, and besides
oh
that, Matt is hungry for Diggle's arms.
Grayson yeah. says thumbs up all the way.
All the way. All the way.
Oh my God, we have derailed.
We have derailed.
No, I was bringing it back.
Diggle,
I was bringing it back. Diggle, can we talk about, I feel like they know you, Matt,
can
in the
just,
writer's room, and they've been listening to you, and I felt like there were some Diggle lines that were just for Matt Marr.
They've been listening. There was Diggle finally did
the salmon ladder. He's like, it's easy. And then who was it that said, well, if your arms are the size of tree trunk? Renee.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's that happened, and he was, and then he was like doing the nunchucks thing with the tank top, and he was very sweaty.
Very sweaty.
Yeah. I enjoyed that very much. And then their part where Oliver comes up to him. and they make out. I love that part.
Once again, that is going to be Matt's Fantasyland version of the finale. But you know what, babe? You can have it.
Series
finale.
There was a lot of diggle hotness. What I actually appreciated, remember we even said this. We felt like the last season, we got a little bit of Diggle and Oliver, but we wanted more of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They finally gave, like, I mean, it's really, I know it's Oliver's show, but it's really Diggle and Oliver's show, like, from the beginning.
It's like a buddy cop show.
Yes, it really is a buddy cop show. That's a good analogy.
And I loved at the end how he was the one who'd give, like, the final speech.
Right.
And everyone was like, I think it should be you. And it should have been him, you know?
Right.
He's, like, the main guy this whole time.
They definitely paid homage really well to the series over the years, and I was really impressed. I went into it not knowing what to expect without any expectations, because I wanted to enjoy it, and it exceeded anything that I thought we were going to enjoy. I was so happy that we had that moment between Mia and Felicity. That was so lovely, and all of our questions got answered. That was my favorite part. All of our questions got answered, and I think that it also really opens the door for the future of all of the, superhero show. I'm hungry, guys. Like, my stomach is doing crazy things. Listen, what was I saying?
I don't know.
Opened the door for all of the superheroes, for all the superhero shows, because now we're seeing that different villains have been brought back. Who's going to come back and torture people? Right. Are they going to be different versions, more powerful versions of themselves?
It makes me excited for Canaries.
Yeah, it makes me really excited for Canaries.
Yeah, because what if we have a scene with Mia, with her grandmother? Yeah. Is her grandmother's alive?
Or like with Tom Merlin,
opens it all back up.
Oh, and with Thea and Roy again?
Right.
Or their child.
They're having babies.
It brings a lot of elements into the show that we didn't have before. And also, it brought a lot of superheroes into Earth Prime, which I'm so excited about, because let me tell you, since Crossover 1, I've been wanting this to happen.
Yeah.
I've been wanting all of the Earths to converge. Like, when the first crossover 5 years ago happened, and they didn't converge Supergirl with the rest of them, I was like, this is bullshit.
It was. Yeah.
So
I thought it was an Arrow show. Yeah. And explicit.
Because I didn't get to talk about the crossover, and it bleeds into this.
Yeah.
That was the most exciting part, but it opens so many storylines, including Diggle's, because what if we get a John Diggle as the Green Lantern spinoff?
So let's talk about that. That was huge. Because did you know that it's what it was? I felt like you, was it you, were you confused?
I knew.
I think you and I knew, but y'all were like, what's going on in the sky?
I just saw the flash of light and I was like, what? No. I was like, they're going to kill him?
Yeah.
That would have been amazing.
Matt and I are such nerds, we're literally like screaming like through darkest night.
So that was really cool. So there's a couple of cool things about this. First of all, Greg Berlanti actually was the producer, and I know the writer, I don't know if he was the director, of the actual Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds.
Which was absolutely horrible. Let's all pretend that didn't happen.
But I like Ryan Reynolds, so I think I love Ryan Reynolds, but I didn't hate it.
It was like Hulk when they did it with what's his name.
Also really bad. I like to strike that one from the Marvel universe.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But so that's kind of interesting. And then what's even another kind of nod to this is that, and
ooh, you there noticed he it is. Too.
In the
fan art.
In the last speech when he says that's the whole thing, for people that don't know, in the comic books, the Green Lantern says they hold the ring to the lantern, and there's a speech like in darkest day and blackest night, something blah blah, my green lanterns always will light.
Let me help you. Through darkest night is brightest day. My Green Lantern's light will light the way. It's like part of that.
So what's cool is that, I don't know, did you notice that in the eulogy, he even said in the darkness, Oliver made it a little bit brighter, which gave me goosebumps. Even now, see, I got cold chills about it.
I know.
Because it's just really cool. I hope that they're... Now with DC Universe, like, they could do it in CW.
Yeah.
We could do it... between this and Ezra Miller being, it's just like everything is just.
Yes.
That was really cool.
They just really have changed DC and what is, like you were just saying, it's what is the future for DC. Now there's Titans and Wonder Girl's on Titans, mm-hmm. so she connects to Wonder Woman
and
in the
also
film.
Also, what's really exciting is that in the finale of the crossover, they showed all the Earths and the different heroes, and they filmed Stargirl last year, and that was actually going to be part of the DCEU app, but CW has picked it up, and it's coming to the actual CW.
Yeah, it's on both. That's what we talked about. We reported it last week,
and,
but yeah.
But what I'm saying with that is that that opens the door, especially with time and portal traveling, to have Stargirl come into the crossover properly.
Yeah, that'd be
and
awesome.
And that whole world of people, because now they've made interdimensional travel a thing, and that is so cool. Arrow, you know what? Hats off to all of Team Arrow and everybody that worked in the crew, and because they have created such a network of shows with history, and the way they wrote the crossover was so well done to wrap up Arrow. It was like an entire 5-episode homage to the house that Arrow has built.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And really, hats off to everybody from Mark Guggenheim to Beth Schwartz to all of the, you know, executive producer and showrunners of the other shows. It's a lot of them.
They're having a party right now.
Yes, they are.
We know that because we try to get people in studio and they're all at a party.
That's okay. Maybe they're watching if you are.
They're not. They're drunk right now.
They're drinking that cheap vodka that they were drinking on the show. There you go.
But yeah, it's an exciting, exciting time. Okay, what else do we not talk about?
I mean, it's really just dealing with, the aftermath of Oliver being gone and everyone acknowledging the fact that he gave this quote-unquote gift to the world to just keep living and having another life and another shot for some people.
But even with the ending, they even tied in to the pilot that they did of Green Arrow and the Canaries because Mia saves her brother, who's been kidnapped.
Right. Yeah.
He's been kidnapped in the Canaries. And she goes to the location that it happened when that location became a location.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I felt like when she looked off into the distance after the ceremony was said and done, it was like this new renewed hope within her that she wasn't failing and that she could do this.
Right. Yeah. And I love Dinah actually in this episode when she said, "See, told you, proud."
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, that guy was tearing up.
I had so many goosebumps during this episode that I was just like, man. But how did you?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Jinx.
Rock, paper, arrow.
Okay.
I couldn't make one. I think you may have won.
No, I was just going to say, can we talk a little bit about Felicity is that what you're gonna say?
Well, I was gonna say Felicity, the ending, like all that.
Let's talk of like her arc. Like one thing I thought was just a cool line, well written episode. I love Felicity's line of just, I don't want to. That was so just human. Of, I want to see my adult daughter, but I don't want this to happen so fast.
Yes.
Like I have such a little baby, and I went.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
That is almost the line that got me out of all of this because it was just such a human mom response.
It was.
What? She hates children.
No,
she hates babies.
She hates Felicity. She hates everything about everything.
Here's the thing.
She hates TV.
So, anyway.
To be fair, I don't think anybody likes teething.
That's true. Go ahead.
Anyway, what I was going to say is that I thought it was really interesting that she said that when she already walked by Mia, and I get that she didn't recognize her, but at the same time, like, Mia already saw you. Like, that's sort of rude. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I get, but
she didn't know. She didn't see her. When she walked by her, she didn't see her. So Mia knew,
like she,
and Mia was probably just giving her space.
Saw her as a person sitting there. She just didn't see her as Mia.
Well, she probably was thinking about other things. There were so many people in that room. She was probably just like, oh, all of my old friends. Hello.
I don't know.
You're right, Ali Conner. I hate Felicity.
What?
I'm kidding. I'm just Olivia gets so upset.
I just thought, like, it was a funny moment that they put that after she walked by Felicity and then said the thing. It would have made more sense if she said it before she walked by her.
I just want to say, Felicity could literally kill her child, light them on fire, and Olivia would be like, well, you know, she did her best. Like, I mean, come on, she has cool glasses.
She's really cool glasses. Like, and wait, so let's talk about how she, in the end, she was like old, short-haired Felicity, mm-hmm. and then she went to the, you know, wherever she was.
We've seen that scene before.
Yeah. It was kind of neat to see that, though, because we did see her disappear into the portal a long time ago, and I was like, well, where did you go? You just assumed that she went into the future to be with him, so it was neat to bring it back, and that she went to heaven, maybe. But I just thought, your heaven is Queen Consolidated?
It doesn't make... I don't know.
What happened to that cute little town?
I don't think there's any more alternate Earths.
There's lots of different Earths. We saw that in the crossover. They've just been repopulated.
I thought it's Earth Prime now, though.
Yeah.
Earth Prime, and then there's Earth 22 is where Stargirl's taking place. You need to watch the crossover again. It goes through a whole montage where it says Earth Prime, bam.
In the chat, let us know.
Heroes, and then it shows all the different Earths. It's because it was showing heroes being born at different Earths and different measures of them and different types. Different ages of heroes.
I took that as okay.
No,
okay.
There's different Earths. So
I don't think they're in a distant Earth, though. I think they're dead.
Max in the chat said she basically suicided herself. I think, killed herself. But afterlife. Charmed Original says it's the afterlife. Olivia, in all caps, don't yell at me.
Right? Well, here's the thing.
You know how the Speed Force exists?
Yeah.
And at the end, Green Arrow became the Spectre. Mm-hmm. I think that they're in whatever realm holds the Spectre. So it's not an Earth, per se.
I think that
it's like a force, like the Speed Force. She has gone to where the Spectre goes. And
I like
that's why
that.
He was okay, like, you can't come back from that.
I like that.
I don't really think it's heaven, so let's be honest. Oliver can probably think would go to heaven.
Oh!
He killed a lot of people.
He
did some bad shit.
You know. But anyways... But yeah, I think that they're living in a realm where it's like
Carolina
the Speed
just
Force.
Said the hero went to hell.
He killed a lot of people.
Do you think Batman in the crossover went to heaven after he killed Superman?
He changed, though. He became a better person.
Yeah.
Maybe he redeemed himself.
Hope he brought sunblock.
You know what? Nobody talked about Jesus and hell. Well, I guess we did have hell. We had Lucifer.
But I like that. I like that.
I think
he is the Spectre. He still is the Spectre from all that we know.
So he still has a role
Grayson
to play.
Grayson says it was a paradise universe.
That okay.
Was, yeah, I can see that. But at the same time,
Consolidated is your paradise.
Right. His mom's old office.
Yeah.
But didn't she say, okay, no, but somebody said in that scene, and I don't remember if it was Oliver, if it was Felicity, but first of all, Oliver had said, you know, we have a long time to talk and catch up, like we have all the time in the world, hence infinite life, if you will, because you're our eternal life in heaven. Mm-hmm. And then he said the afterlife. Yeah. Someone said the afterlife. I remember hearing
Felicity
that word.
Said, I didn't expect the afterlife to be in your office.
Yeah.
So she did say that word.
Right.
But she doesn't know where she's at, and she doesn't know that her husband is the Spectre. She wasn't there for all of that. Okay.
But at the same time, she left her kids. I mean, granted, they're 18 and older, but still, she left her kids in 2040 and chose to die to be with Oliver, which I get it, be with your love, but you just, like, left both your kids.
I know, and they were still kind of young.
They're not
too.
That old.
And
they're
getting like to know each 40. Other.
Just in real life, that wouldn't happen. She just wanted to leave the show, y'all.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, it's a comic book, and I've already established that they're in an alternate dimension. Okay.
Max,
like the Speed Force.
Max says Oliver chose that because it's where he first saw her, which makes sense. It's like
he
a little paradise for him. Yeah, he said that.
Yes and no. He saw her at Queen Consolidated, but the office was not designed like that.
He makes he
it was
the office.
In the office.
Yeah, but he made the office look like he said his mom's old office,
which is where he saw her first.
I thought he saw her somewhere. Okay, never mind.
Anyway,
No, it shows it in the episode as well.
Right, I saw that too. But
where
I swear
he was watching her before they actually met down on the 7th floor in IT. He saw her for the first time in his mom's office, talking to his picture and being like, "Oh my god, you're so cute, but you're like dead. But that's a problem for you and not for me."
Yeah.
Yeah.
clearly, they could have fleshed that out a little bit more.
Yeah.
I like how your voice just got really
It's the suit. It's not phlegm at all.
Sorry. I just wanted to shout out Red Eyes Blackfire because he keeps saying stuff in the chat. So hello.
Oh,
shout out to you guys.
Hello. I like that name.
Oh, random weird fact that I caught is the fact that, okay, so we picked up and we did another documentary, which we started the documentary a long time ago.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, several seasons back.
Yeah, yeah, there was wrapped everything up.
Yes. Yeah. But she didn't necessarily end that documentary unless it was just Diggle's last speech. But regardless, her name was Marcia Petowitz, and the president of the CW was Mark Petowitz. And I was like, that's funny.
That's a fun little factoid.
Yeah, that's all.
Fun fact of the
that
night.
That was a smart thing to do in that, like, they use that documentary to explain to, like, people be like, wait, Moira shows up? Moira doesn't know about the crisis and all this? Yeah. And it was a good way to, like, bring old people back and for them to explain, hey, we know what's happening. Because that can be so cheesy and dumb. Mm-hmm. And it was like a very, I don't love this word, but it's the only word. It was like a good organic way to do it in the episode.
Yes, so I liked it.
I know.
You're so Hollywood.
I'm so Hollywood.
I'm trying to think of what else we can cover. I mean, well, first of all, it's just so crazy that this is the last time we're going to be doing this.
Yes,
in general.
It is.
You've been doing this since day one.
The pilot.
Yeah. You actually, it was your idea to start the show, wasn't it?
No.
Oh.
AfterBuzz covers everything.
Okay.
But I did want to, I'm going to say this and I'll be completely 100. I started this because I like to start a show and a series with number one, like day one, and stay with it because some hosts like to jump around to different stuff and I just like to be consistent with our people. But when I first watched Arrow, I was like, what did I just sign up for? Oh my gosh. Because at the time, I felt like Stephen Amell, bless your heart, I think you're fantastic, but it was a little rough.
He grew into the first season.
But I understand in the pilot, it's like the pilot sometimes is so separate from the actual series when you're filming, and it's your first time doing everything, and you're probably really nervous, and you're holding down an entire show as the lead character, so I get it. And I know that after he saw him make us some money, like after a few episodes, he actually hired an acting coach, and I was like, oh my God, it totally paid off. And again, not to be mean, but he grew so
no, I think that's
much.
A good thing to say. He really grew as an actor in this role.
Just like they were saying, Oliver evolved so much.
Yeah.
And I like that they brought that back, too, that he didn't start off as a good man, but now that he is, that just makes him that much more of a hero.
Their wigs also got better.
They really did. Everything got better. Yeah, Carolina and I started this season 3, and we've been on it ever since. So. Yeah. It's been a long run.
Five long years.
I don't know when I got here. I don't even remember.
He just
can't tell you. Ivan, let me know tonight when we get home. When I got here, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Let me take a look at my notes, though. See if there's anything else we need to cover. It's like hard to. There's so many flashbacks that it wasn't like there was a direct storyline, but there was a storyline. If that makes sense, it
was the storyline.
So
was
much
William
wrapping
was
everything up.
Stolen, and they wanted to make sure that Oliver's family was still together because Oliver stitched all of their families back together as best as he could.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He did.
And, you know, it brings an era of 20 years of peace in Star City,
which is unheard of
in comic books.
Right.
So that was really cool. It was cool to see that go out that way, that they wanted to thank him in the best way they knew possible. And I also thought it was cool that Mia was the one that got to save her brother.
Yeah.
I only wish in that, you just said that, it made me think of kind of almost like, I wish we would have had like this Marty McFly Back to the Future moment of just her saying like, you know, like to William, so when your little sister does this and this and that, like, go easy. Like, just kind of her, like, we never got, like...
But that is not Mia's personality.
No.
I know, but still, we never got any type of... But we still could have gotten a smart-ass comment.
She's showing him how the bow and arrow
worked. That was true. That was nice. Yeah.
Too.
I forgot about that moment.
That's true. That was the
arrow panel.
Oh, what?
What?
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God!
It's cake! The cleanse is over.
Congrats on an awesome season.
Oh, thank you very much, y'all. If you're listening to the podcast, you are so confused right now.
It looks like Oreo.
It's y'all. So hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
That was so nice.
And
it's actually... So if you're listening on the podcast, the producers here at AfterBuzz came and brought us a cake. And it says, I can't read with this freaking mask.
I can't.
What does it say?
Get it together.
Awesome arrow panel. That's what it says.
Awesome arrow panel.
Thank you so much. It was really sweet.
That was very nice.
That was very nice.
Well, now I don't know what to say.
I don't either.
I'm just going
to eat the cake.
What are you guys doing at home?
What did we just say?
Just watch us eat, guys. No, I want to know, what are you guys doing at home? I mean, maybe that you're not celebrating or celebrating, but, you know, this is the last
did anybody
episode.
Have a viewing party?
Right. Let me try to do this. Max says, I'm only here because it's the last show and I love you guys. I really get to watch this live and I had to for the finale. You guys are my favorite AfterBuzz and I love all four of you.
We love you too. It's very, very kind.
Thank you guys. For all of you who brand new came in and joined us and gave us a chance, and for those of you who've stuck through it throughout the years, like, it's so awesome to be able to connect to people all over the world. We share this one thing in common, and once a week we get to get together and just talk about it.
Olivia
and
is crying
I can't help it.
You're a beautiful soul, that's why. Maybe we could, because we do have a little bit of time, maybe people in the chat could let us know what were either their favorite parts of Arrow as a series, or, not to make it about us,
but also what was their favorite part of
the after show? If there was some moment in the after show that they really liked.
That's exactly what Cliff says. He says, don't rush off air at the end. Can you talk about the favorite moments
of Arrow?
My favorite moment, excuse my hair. My favorite moment is the first time I ever heard "You Lose Your Mind Laughing."
Oh my god.
Oh.
Just because I've never heard a laugh like that before, y'all. Ever. Then falling out of my chair was pretty classic.
Yeah. That was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one.
One of the things Matt did was put, what was it?
It's really the music.
I don't even remember what it was, but you like put your finger.
This is between the two of you. This is when Linda was here, right? Yes, this is when you were gone for years.
Linda lost her mind.
It's when I said, Matt, and what did you say? I did my hands like that.
Let's not do it again.
But anyway,
it's a very offensive British thing, and I was like, that's not what that means.
I'm just saying, it was a little bit about butt stuff. It was a funny moment.
Ivan says, my favorite part of Arrow is this panel. Warren says, the turkey call.
Yes! That's my favorite.
Dancer Fruit says, hands down, Olicity. Amen to that. My panel favorite moment, seeing Matt chill in this chat.
Yes.
Charmed Original, Allie's Canary Cry.
Oh, thanks.
I miss Linda. We miss Linda, too.
We do miss Linda.
Yeah, we do miss Linda.
She's on 90 Day Fiancé.
I wish
she'd
come on tonight. Yeah. That would have been so nice.
Yeah, we should have done that.
Max says, Arrow has been a big part of my life and dealing with me coming out. It gave me an escape during a bad time. Arrow has a special place in my heart next to Once Upon a Time. Why am I so emotional?
Come on, Max. That's gonna make me cry.
Once Upon a Time. Aw. So much love.
Max, that's so sweet.
Caroline, you might have to take reading.
I know. I
do you know what? I really love the time that we all pitched in to try Stephen Amell's Knocking Point Wine. And you drove to the one restaurant in all of LA that sold it. I forgot about that.
That was the year before last.
It was season four.
I don't remember.
That shit was hard to find.
There was really one restaurant in all of Los Angeles that carried this wine, and we wanted to have a drinking party. I searched for it everywhere. I drove all the way to, like, I don't even know where.
It was.
And I went into the restaurant, and they're like, you want this bottle of wine? I was like, yes, it's very important.
Thank you, Stephen Fate. That was a very sweet thing that you wrote. He just thanked all of us and said that we're his favorite part.
There's the Knocking Point Wine. Yeah.
Heywood Wong says, I say the expansion of the Arrowverse has been his favorite part of watching the series.
That's true. It started
just by itself. It's literally changed the face of the CW. Literally.
Yeah. And Ronald Edwards said, the after show brought so much more life and energy to watching it week to week for me in season two. The laughs, the memories, the characters. This panel was lit for years.
That's very sweet.
I guess he joined us in season two. Wow, Ronald, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So much Wanser love. Hi. Yeah. Thank you. Favorite moment is Diggle getting his Green Lantern ring. Says Logan Knight. Yes, right. Long overdue.
Seriously.
Maybe Diggle will get a series in the upcoming years. That'll be great. That would be great.
Yes. Yeah.
And he said he was moving to Metropolis, which means Supergirl and Superman, because Superman is also getting a show. Cliff Washington says, will you guys be on the new Arrow show with the kids? I don't know.
So we don't know if that's picked up. I saw
TBD.
Harkate, what's her name?
Juliana Harkate.
She actually tweeted, like, I saw a tweet of saying, like basically putting it out in the universe. Like, so, because something that is really good for people to know, we weren't going to talk about this in the news, but I saw this. This Green Arrow and the Canaries was one of the high-rated CW shows, I think, ever.
Really?
Like, they had a huge... So I think it's, like, a for sure lock that this show's going to get picked up. But it had really, really great ratings, which is awesome. It's exciting to just see this kind of women in power in CW happening so much.
My one gun.
Yes, very much so. Any other moments for y'all for this from the panel or the show?
The salmon ladder. Oh, in my notes tonight, I did say though during that fight scene, Stephen Amell's butt looked really good.
It did look really good.
I noticed that too.
Oh my god, we haven't even talked about Stephen Amell's shirtless and sweaty.
But Brandon. B-U-I, I don't know how to say that.
I just called him Brandon this whole time.
So Brandon says that he wishes that we would have had a moment in the finale to see both Laurels.
That would have been really cool.
I would have sobbed.
That would have been a good moment.
My favorite moment, I have to say, in Arrow probably was, but I was always, sorry, I was still like Steven and Laurel in game, and so
what?
I don't know. It makes her so angry. I really loved, you know, I'll never forget the moments when Sarah Lance, like the first Black Canary, I will never forget when she was shot and killed. Right. Remember that when she was like shot in arrows and then she just like fell, and it was clear like she was dead. She wasn't coming back. That was kind of the first time this show shook me, and I was just like. Very sad.
I actually really like the reveal of Sarah and Nyssa having a thing together. And they mentioned that also in tonight's episode as well, too, my beloved. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I like them together.
I love it when she was like, the love was there. And she's like, the love was never there. This was my father's plan to ruin my life. This is my beloved.
I really loved, this was back in the day, but when Thea started coming up in training, I really loved Thea. And I loved seeing her come from this like little shy girl and then becoming this like strong woman and like this excellent fighter, and seeing those scenes of her being trained, and I don't know, I remember really, really liking that.
I think also one of my favorite moments throughout the years was honestly the first time we met Malcolm Merlyn.
That was good too.
Malcolm Merlyn was great. Season and all of the subsequent episodes with him, and also Damian Dark.
I just
want to give a shout out to the villains because the show wouldn't have been half as good if they didn't have the outstanding villains that they did. And man,
I think we forget that because they kind of petered out at the end.
I wish we had seen Anatoly tonight. That
we did!
But more. He had 2 seconds and they did the vodka bit.
Those are a lot of people that they brought back.
I'm just saying my favorite moments, and I'm just saying I love Anatoly.
No, I was just saying there was a lot of people. I wouldn't have been mad if they were like, this episode's an hour and a half. I wouldn't have been mad at it.
No, I would have watched it.
Charmed Original said it's sad they never had Malcolm in the finale.
I thought that too.
You know what my favorite moment actually is? Relevant and irrelevant is that I was not super familiar with John Barrowman outside of this particular show.
Oh, yeah.
And for such a long time, he played this dark, evil character, and, you know, whatever. And then, like, I saw him in heels and was like, what? My God. And, like, it's so far from his personality that you're like,
he's a really, really good actor.
I totally bought it. And then there was a video of all of the actors that put out, like, a long time ago, of them in bathrooms and stuff, and they were singing Grease. And I was like, everybody on this cast can sing. Everybody. It's like,
almost everyone on the CW is a musical theater actor. Yeah. Fun fact.
Wait, John
almost
Diggle can
everyone.
Sing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about Diggle, but I knew everybody else was singing. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Daigle could sing.
Yeah. Both Grant Gustin and, oh my gosh, what's her name? She plays
Melissa Benoist.
Melissa Benoist. Yeah. Thank you for knowing.
Which, that was a
you
good.
You just know my brain. Do you see that, guys? We are psychically connected.
Because I ate dinner. I'm not hungry.
but yeah, but Stephen Amell used to talk about how he wanted to do like a huge crossover musical because he was always astounded by everyone's singing ability.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
They should do it just for the fans.
That would be amazing. That
go on tour.
On YouTube.
I'd buy a ticket. Yeah, yes. I would so buy a ticket.
I would too.
Like one night only because they're all busy. I would go.
Yeah.
Christopher says Samantha should have showed up in the finale.
Who's that?
The mom of William. William's mom.
I mean, she died.
She died.
Isn't she dead?
But she, they couldn't.
No, I don't think she came back. It's not, just easier.
He's not trying to take Emily's baby from her.
No.
Felicity's baby. They're the same person.
I mean, I guess.
But you know what? The nice thing is, too, is, like, Arrow has built this entire Arrowverse, and we're enjoying it as it is, but remember when the CW used to be the WB?
Yes!
And
Smallville, girl.
That's what I was going to say. They just gave so many endings, because I really do feel like the crossover was a huge thank you to Smallville and to Green Arrow, especially to Green Arrow for everything that it created on the series, that they brought the original Superman from Smallville back.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And then getting to see Brandon Routh play Superman, which, you know, if you don't know, he did the movies with...
But they even nodded him as Christopher Reeve, just like one flying over the earth.
Yeah.
So they really did. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in AfterBuzz News about a little bit of Mark Guggenheim, who's kind of the head of
this. He's the creator.
Him and Greg Berlanti, kind of some nods that they had too.
Yeah. Why don't we get into news? Because we have like lots of photos.
We do. Yeah, let's get into it. Your AfterBuzz TV news.
Someone's falling down on the job.
Ryan's busy,
usually we do Archer's Alley first. That's what happened.
Oh, is that what happened? Did you want to do Archer's Alley?
I can do it after news. I don't mind.
Let's do news. I mean, do we have anybody to help us with news?
Can we do news?
They gave us a cake and they were like, we're out.
I'm here. Ryan, I'm here.
You have failed this podcast, girl.
For some reason, it's not playing.
Okay, well,
but we'll figure it out.
Do you want? But then maybe we'll jump to Archer's Alley then first.
Sure,
let's do that.
Okay.
Is that okay? Sorry.
Yeah. Safely to say, not going into a career of voiceover. Hi, guys. Thank you for our final Archer's Alley ever.
Yes.
And I also want to say thank you to DC Comics, because I started Archer's Alley as a pet project. It was something that I just loved tying in the comics, because there were so many nods and odes to it throughout the series. So thank you so much to DC Comics. They sent us so much material to use over 3 seasons now. The comic books have been absolutely indispensable. And speaking of the comic books, as we tearfully say goodbye to Arrow on TV, in March 6th of 2019, Arrow comic number 50 came out, and it was the end of Arrow. At this time, there is no planned further Arrow, and we have a photo from the last one. I brought it in. Is it there for people watching on YouTube?
Can we show photos?
Oh, there we are.
So, there she is, Black Canary, who you're supposed to be with.
This is our lovely Oliver Queen and Black Canary, and this is... just an insert from the final number 50. You can still buy it. It's a little hard to find, but I checked.
That's cool that they did it.
Yeah. And actually, Jackson Lansing, who was one of the series writers, he was minted to start on 48 and carry on the series. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, you know what? We're actually going to stop at 50. He went on Twitter and gave a long explanation. So if you want to know more about what they had planned and what happened, Jackson Lansing, again, that's his name, so you can find him on Twitter. He goes on a really long explanation, but it is a really heartfelt comic as well, where a a day late and a dollar short.
I'm
in the middle of giving them information.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, Ryan. I think Ryan's on a cleanse too.
Ryan, I am so hungry.
Do you want some cake, Ryan?
My God. Listen. So the final comic is beautifully done, and same as the series, they really wrap up Oliver's journey. But what's sad is that Jackson Lansing and his co-writer, Colin Kelly, they originally thought they were going to have a whole series to play with, and they were excited because they wanted to bring Green Arrow into our modern era of today, and they wanted to talk about the socioeconomic and political issues that are plaguing our country and the world now, as we speak, and bring more realism into the Green Arrow world, because Green Arrow has always been the underdog superhero. He is a superhero for the underdogs. He's not Supergirl. He can't go out there and save a universe. He can't breathe in space. He's for the everyday man. And so they really wanted to tackle those topics and showcase that. So it's kind of sad that they only had two comics to write for Green Arrow in, but you never know. Things can always change, and as the DCEU expands, who knows, maybe we'll see Green Arrow join the Justice League, maybe we will see a new reiteration of Green Arrow. I know that Green Arrow and the Canaries is coming out, but I mean, Oliver, maybe we will see another iteration of Oliver, but in the meantime, I hope you go out and you enjoy those final two comics if you haven't had a chance to yet. And thank you to all of the comic book writers and illustrators who brought Green Arrow to life.
Yeah, thank you, DC. There we go. Well said.
Oh, look, it's on time.
All right.
Okay, let's get in some news.
Ooh. TV.
This cake is good, y'all.
I know.
Oh my God, it's Oreo.
Is she? You're eating.
So hungry.
Y'all care? If you're listening to the podcast, Farolina is eating the cake.
Listen, it's 11 p.m. I'm done.
Okay, I've got to remember this
because
I shut my computer down. I forgot that it has my news on it.
Oh.
So the first thing that we want to talk about is a little bit of comic history going into that. So the name John Byrne. John Byrne is actually one of the most prominent comic book writers of DC and Marvel, but huge. John Byrne is the one who created, he illustrated but the whole really big Superman, the whole Man of Steel arc in the comics of the 80s that kind of reinvigorated Superman to the modern day Superman of what we think of. And she's just eating the cake, y'all. And we have some pictures of that. So first off, John Byrne also was famous for his Wonder Woman run.
Oh, wow.
And I wanted to show this because this was, I think, 1986, 87. And if you
Look at that 80s hair.
80s. It's just everything about it is so big and her hair and all that. And then we have a picture of his Arrow. Oddly enough, he didn't do a lot of Green Arrow, but that is his version of Green Arrow.
Yeah.
But the reason is Mark Guggenheim said that John Byrne is one of his most favorite, probably if not his most favorite, comic book writer ever, and he said, "I've been wanting for the whole series of how I can name drop him, and this felt fitting for the last time for this villain to be John Byrne."
Yeah,
and that's why they said it a bunch of times. So that's a John Byrne.
That's cool.
So we also go ahead. Yeah,
yeah. So this is Stephen Amell's kind of a final tweet. I saw it on Twitter earlier, and I figured it would be a good thing to share with you guys tonight. And this is what he said: "Today's bittersweet. Arrow meant so much to me for so many years." As us on this panel.
True.
It was a transformative journey, but it was time to let it go. I laced my boots and don on the hood one last time tonight. I'll forever cherish being an ambassador for Oliver Queen. Thank you for the honor. It's
that's
a very
sweet.
Nice handoff.
That's
you
very
know?
Sweet. Yeah.
And it's a photo, for people listening, it's a photo of him on a roof as Green Arrow.
And Green Arrow.
Overlooking Star City.
And we have one more thing. We'll kind of look. This is a link from Alec Kona found this, actually.
Yes.
So, go ahead.
Oh, it's just the different characters throughout the 8 years, like from day one, if you will, when they first started, all the way up until now, basically.
It's HollywoodLife.com is the link. So if you just put Hollywood Life and just put
Arrow
series, you can see a whole slideshow. Yeah. You can read it. You can watch it.
Right.
You can cry into your Doritos. We don't know your life.
Cry into your cake.
But it's all there.
So Diggle.
Oh, ooh, Diggle. Felicity.
Felicity's long hair.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Roy.
Colton Haynes.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi. I mean, they've aged really well.
Oh, look at them. Look at this.
Obsessed with her.
I forgot she had dark hair. She's amazing. Yeah. Katie Cassidy.
The platinum pixie blonde. I just, guys, I'm not gay, but maybe.
Yeah.
You're just hungry for anything.
Yeah.
You'll eat anything. Oh, wait, I didn't mean that. Sorry. Dinah, straight hair, curly hair.
I feel like that's a wig. Anyway, go ahead, keep going.
It's a wig.
It does look like a wig.
He has not changed one bit,
but he still's hot. He still's hot. Who else? Oh, Curtis.
Oh, Curtis.
He had a beard. He's butch.
He's butch.
He's butch now.
Oh, Thea.
That's changed a lot.
Yeah. Look at her.
Yeah, she really changed a lot. Who else?
That's it.
And then the biggest loser, y'all. Sorry, that's what in the podcast. That's what
we're the biggest loser because we're losing our favorite show.
We are. I think that's all we
there
need to cover.
I don't want to say anything else because I want to end on a high note.
Yeah.
So I'll leave that news behind.
Oh, okay. She's teased. You know what? Follow Ali Kona for any more news.
Yeah.
I mean, or you just listen to the podcast that you talked about last week because it dives into a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. Tell them about the podcast.
I haven't listened to it.
Someone mentioned it on the chat, by the way.
Yes.
The whole podcast with Stephen
Amell and Michael Rosenbaum of Michael Rosenbaum Inside of You.
Yes. Well, one of the things that recently came out in an article, again, part of that same podcast, was the fact that Stephen was a little disappointed with the way that they handled the crossover and his death. He felt like it was really disrespectful to his character because they were so busy, you know, with this crossovers. They're filming the crossover, but they're still filming the each individual show. So they're turning over actors very, very quickly. And so when it was his time to die, they rushed and they got Supergirl and they got Barry to do their goodbye scenes with Stephen Amell, but then they left because they had to go to bed so they could wake up early to shoot their shows in the morning, which left Stephen Amell by himself. So he had to shoot his death scene when it was his coverage to a tennis ball.
Ugh.
And so he just felt like, you know, after all these years and Arrow being such a, you know, catapult for this. On the, you know, like, how could you just leave me? Like, as an actor, he knows you act opposite of a ball when you're doing, not special effects, what's it called?
Green screen.
And so he's like, I get it, that's what we do, but just because, given the event, it was my goodbye, it would have been awesome to have actors in front of me to really connect and engage and act versus a tennis ball, because I wanted to give my best for the fans for the death scene.
Yeah.
He got paid well. He's fine.
He did a good job.
He got paid well.
Yeah. All right.
That's good news. It's a good podcast. Take a look at
it. I just like busted open.
Wow. We got to go before we get X-rated. I do want to say, though, like, for everybody, be sure to follow us and everything just because we know that we built a community with you.
Yes.
The community is not gone, so reach out to us.
Right, yeah. For sure. With that said, you can follow me. I'm mostly on Instagram, so please, if you need to message me, do it on there. I'm at yours truly, Ali Kona, with little underscores in between.
Yeah.
And I'm at the Matt Marr, MattMarr, two T's, two R's.
You guys, this has been a pleasure. I'm Olivia Di Bortoli, and you can follow me everywhere at Olivia Di Bortoli.
Guys, thank you so much for having me and for joining us for so many years. I'm Carolina Benetti, and you can find me on Instagram at LenaBean113.
And Cass, for one final time, and you at home, join us in raising your bows. One, two, three. Pew, 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 pew. Goodbye. We love you.
Love you guys. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.